Special hello to our friends at facebook.com/oldcookbooks.
Dinner time!
A book for all girls who love to help mother. The Mary Frances Cookbook. Or adventures among the kitchen people.
All the kitchen people were terribly excited.
Tea kettle, saucepan, boiler pan, and big iron pot, pie plate, and teapot, coffee pot, mantel clock, and blue pitcher. Auntie rolling pin, toaster man, baking dish, and potato masher, platter, and ladle, yellow bowl, and measuring cup, frying pan, basket, perforated skimmer, and the can opener. Round and square cake tins, iron griddle and little pitcher, fork, knife, and spoon.
I see my finish, puffed Tea Kettle from his perch on the stove. That's slang, snapped Saucepan, who sat nearby.
Slang or no slang, I'll melt if somebody doesn't come and fill me soon.
Where's the cook? Where's the mistress? Asked Boiler Pan.
Why, the cook's left this morning, and the mistress is sick. What's that I smell burning?
That's the potatoes in the oven, said Toaster.
Oh, my lid, cried Tea Kettle, holding his nose. Pour on water, quick.
Phew,
exclaimed Coffee Pot.
Phew, cried Pie Plate.
Phew, clanged Big Iron Pot.
Phew, mimicked Saucepan. Phew,
that won't help. If you say phew to an oven door, will it open?
Somebody open the door! Good idea, Saucy, exclaimed Tea Kettle. You might try it yourself.
Oh, oh, strained little Saucepan at the heavy door. Oh, I can't budge it.
Oh, he coughed. What smoke? Somebody help, come try.
Get out of the way, then, said Big Iron Pot, making heavily toward the stove.
Knew your arms were too short, laughed Tea Kettle, seeing Iron Pot couldn't reach the knob.
Well, they're as long as yours, said Iron Pot angrily.
Kick it open, suggested Saucepan. Everybody allowed one kick.
First go,
exclaimed Iron Pot.
Whack!
Came a muffled sound.
Oh, my poor feet! Oh, oh!
What's the matter? Asked Saucepan.
Nothing,
said Big Pot, hopping around on one little leg and holding the other with his hands.
Only I wish you'd had first go.
Well, declared Tea Kettle, unless help comes soon, we may as well give up all hope of rescue. This is dreadful.
Listen, then, ticked Mantle Clock, who didn't mind the smoke. I know a secret, the dear little girl.
Oh, yes, we know, cried the kitchen people.
Well, asked Mantle Clock, what do you know?
The little girl, that there is a little girl.
Is that all you know? Demanded Mantle Clock. Now, when people interrupt.
Just dying to tell, said Saucepan in a loud whisper.
Please, please, tell us the secret,
begged the kitchen people. Well, Mantle Clock ran on. The dear little girl that lives in our house is going to learn to cook. What you say if we all turn in and help her?
Goody, goody!
Auntie Rolling Pin laughed so she nearly rolled off the table.
Just then, the kitchen doorknob turned, and every one of the kitchen people was as quiet as a...
In ran the dearest, sweetest little girl.
Oh, you poor Tea Kettle, she cried. You'll boil to death.
And she pulled it over to the cooler part of the stove. Tea Kettle simmered his thanks.
What can be burning, she asked. What can it be?
And she looked all around the stove.
I do believe it's something in the oven.
As she pulled open the oven door, out rolled the burnt potatoes.
Now for the toast.
And she caught up her mother's apron from a hook and tied it just under her arms, crossing the strings in front.
The kitchen people held their breath to see what would happen next. Suddenly, she clapped her hands.
The very thing,
she cried, and ran out of the room. In a minute, she was back with a little book in her hands.
Mother was asleep,
she whispered as though her mother was still in danger of being wakened by any sound.
But I just tiptoed up to the table and got the book she's been making for my cooking lessons. This must be it. It's Mother's writing. The Mary Frances First Cookbook. I just believe it tells about toast. Yes, here it is. Right on the first page.
Recipe number one. Plain toast. Step number one. Cut stale bread into slices about 1/2 inch thick. Step number two. Remove crust from the bread. Step number three. Put into a wire toaster. Step number four. Hold the wire toaster over a fire, moving to and fro until a golden brown color. Step number five. Turn it and brown the other side.
Let's see if there's any stale bread. I should think so. A whole loaf. Now I'll cut 2 slices, and since I want it to be very nice, I'll cut off the crust. I guess that'll be enough. Oh, how I wish somebody was here to help me.
There is somebody. I'll help.
Mary Frances looked around in amazement. Seeing no one.
Why, where? Why, who are you?
She asked.
I'm Tea Kettle, miss, said Tea Kettle, lifting his lid very politely.
I'm gladly at your service, if you please. And I, it was Saucepan.
And I, cried Boiler Pan.
Mary Frances could scarcely believe her ears.
My, she said, can you all talk? And will you help me? Isn't that grand? But how you did surprise me.
Look at the fire! Look at the fire!
What a tiny voice,
thought the little girl. But she quickly took the lids off the stove. Some very bright coals stared up at her.
The fire is fine,
she said aloud, and she looked all about to find where the voice came from. But she saw no one.
Look down, please, said the same tiny voice, this time very distinctly. There stood the funniest little wire man, no higher than the girl's elbow. You didn't see me, laughed the little man, but I know how to make toast.
Of course, said the little girl. You're the toaster.
Yes, ma'am, said the little man with a bow. At your service, Miss Mary Frances. Try me and see what I can do, went on Toaster Man. Just put a slice of that bread into my head and hold me over the fire.
Mary Frances leaned over and gravely put a slice of bread in Toaster. He looked so funny standing there that she wanted to smile, but thought it wouldn't be exactly polite. But when he said, slide up my collar, in a thick, smothery sort of voice, she laughed aloud before she could stop, but turned the sound into a cough so quickly that Toaster Man looked up at her queerly only a moment, and she pulled the ring up until it held the bread tightly in place. Now lift me over the fire, he demanded. Mary Frances hesitated. She couldn't tell where to take hold of him. Never mind my legs, he said, as though he read her thoughts. I'll see to them. And he folded them up so close that when Mary Frances lifted him up, she could find no sign of them.
Oh, but you'll be burnt,
she cried, as she held what Toaster Man had called his head over the bright fire.
Not I, he said. Not I. I like it. It's the toast that'll be burnt, if I'm not turned over soon.
Mary Frances took the hint and turned Toaster carefully over. Not too close to the coals at first, little miss, said the little fellow. Now, closer. That's it. How is it? He asked, as Mary Frances took him from the fire.
What a beautiful piece of toast, she cried.
Grandificent, exclaimed Toaster.
Now you do the next piece without my saying a word. But first, spread that with butter and put it in the oven. Now you read in your book and see if that's not the way to make buttered toast. Mary Frances opened her book. Read it out loud, said the little man.
When I speak that way, Mother tells me to say please,
said she.
Beg pardon, said little man.
Please. So Mary Frances read. Recipe number 2. Buttered toast. 1. Spread toast bread evenly with butter. Number 2. Pile 1 slice on top of the other and cover with a bowl. Number 3. Place in oven.
That's it. That's what I told you, cried the little fellow. I'm always right about toast. Can you make the next slice without a word?
I think so,
said Mary Frances, and she didn't utter a sound until she had taken the second piece out of Toaster. What a beautiful piece of toast, exclaimed Toaster. It's better than the first.
Oh, I don't think...
Mary Frances started. I know, snapped the little man. Don't contradict me about toast. By the way, he asked, why don't you make it into milk toast for your mother? It would be softer and more
palatable,
said Mary Frances. Yes, he said. You know a good deal for a little girl. And he began to choke.
A piece of toast?
She asked. No, he exclaimed indignantly. A long word always makes me choke. That's why I seldom use them. Now, please, read about milk toast.
If you know,
suggested Mary Frances. Well, it's more like real grown-up people to have it out of a book, said the little man. Go on. And Mary Frances read from her little cookbook. Here's a recipe for milk toast. 1 tablespoon butter, 1 tablespoon flour, 1 cup milk, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 3 slices toast. Number 1. Make ready the toast. 2. Heat the milk until smoking hot. 3. Melt the butter in a small saucepan. 4. Throw the flour into the butter. Cook until it bubbles a little, stirring all the time. Take from the fire. 5. Pour 1/3 of the milk upon the butter and flour, a little at a time, stirring with the back of a spoon to press out the lumps. 6. Place over fire and gradually stir in the remaining milk. 7. Add the salt. Let it boil a minute. 8. Put slices of toast in a heated dish. Pour the sauce over and serve hot. All measures are made level with the top of cup or spoon. To measure level spoonful, fill spoon heaping full and level it off with the back of a knife. For half spoonful, cut through lengthwise. For 1/4 spoonful, divide 1/2 spoonful across. A salt spoon is 1/8 teaspoon. That's right, said Toaster Man. That's the way my grandmother made it. If I were you, I'd make only half of that sauce for only 2 slices of toast. You did so well with the plain toast, you go right ahead with the milk toast and see if you can make it all yourself. And if you need any help, I'll be on the spot in a twinkle. Follow carefully what your little cookbook says. You know you must measure everything even with the top of the spoon or cup. So Mary Frances did exactly what the recipe told her. As she poured the last of the sauce over the toast, which she had put in a pretty dish, the little man, who had been running here and there, watching everything she did, shouted, "Hurrah!" At least he tried to shout, but his voice would scarcely reach to a grown-up person's ear. "You are the best pupil I ever had."
"Have you had many?"
asked Mary Frances. "You are the only one," said Toaster. "Why?"
"Oh, nothing,"
said Mary Frances. "I should think," said the little man, standing on his toes to look over the edge of the dish, that milk toast would taste awful good.
"Won't you try it?"
asked Mary Frances. She was very much afraid he would, but she wanted to show her gratitude for his kindness. "Oh, no," sighed the little man. "I never eat."
"You never eat?"
exclaimed Mary Frances. "It may seem strange to you," said the little man, "but everything that is put into my head falls out backwards, and I simply can't eat."
"It must be dreadful,"
said Mary Frances. "It keeps me very thin," complained Toaster. "But if I'm not mistaken, your mother will eat all that toast, if she gets it while it's hot."
"Oh, I hope so,"
said Mary Frances.
"And I thank you so very much."
"Goodbye," added the little girl as she went out of the kitchen, followed by the admiring gaze of all the kitchen people. Mary Frances pushed open the door of her mother's room very softly. "What has my little girl there?" asked her mother.
"Oh, are you awake, Mother? It's a surprise for you."
And she carried the tray over to the bed. Her mother carefully lifted the lid of the dish. "Milk toast! The only thing I could eat!
Why, who made it?
If it hadn't been for Toaster, it couldn't have been made,
said Mary Frances. Her mother looked at the little girl in surprise.
I mean,
she added,
that Toaster really did it. He showed me how.
Oh, laughed her mother, as she lifted a slice of toast out on a saucer. Well, dear, anyway, I want you to have some toast with Mother. And she handed the saucer to Mary Frances, who said she would much rather watch her mother eat it than to have some herself. But after her first taste, she found how hungry she was. It's the best toast I ever ate, said her mother. And Mary Frances, dear, I feel much better already. She would have said more had not Mary Frances's brother bounded up the stairs two steps at a time with,
What do you think? I met Father downtown, and he says Aunt Maria's coming over to keep house for us. In the daytime, she must be at home, but she'll come over and get breakfast for us, and we'll go there for our dinners. And Father says Mother's going to the seashore to have a perfect rest until she's well. Anyhow, I'm glad we won't starve. I wish Sis knew how to cook.
And he teasingly pulled one of Mary Frances's curls. Hush, brother, said the mother. You should have been here to see the lovely milk toast Sister just brought me. It was the best I ever tasted, and she made it all herself.
Almost,
said Mary Frances. Oh, yes, said her mother. The dear little girlie wants Toaster to get part of the praise.
Ha ha! Ha ha ha!
Laughed Brother, and Mary Frances somehow couldn't explain about kitchen folks. Instead,
When does Aunt Maria come?
She asked.
Does she come tonight?
She's coming right over, answered her brother.
Uh-oh,
thought Mary Frances.
I must warn the kitchen people. Brother,
she began nervously,
you stay with Mother. I want to take these things down.
But Brother was already sitting quietly near Mother, and Mary Frances hurried softly downstairs.
The poor dears, the poor dears,
she kept whispering all the way.